Today's daf in Masechet Shviit in Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadesh, is daf Lamed Beis, and we're holding at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We've been discussing over here what the din would be, Megabe, the question of eating things out in the field that you're not as yet able to bring into the house, but because the Torah was merames, two separate zmanim. One of the min hasadeh, the tochalas tvuaso, and the other just the general din, which is said, l'chol v'hem tochav l'chaya shebasadecha, that there are two shirin. And that if it's a norm to be able to eat things before they're fully ripe, but under conditions where you eat them only out in the field while you're working, so we had these special cases of the case of the pagim, which was the figs, and the case of the boser, where you squeeze the grape, where there is sufficient moisture in the grape to get a little bit of sharp juice, more of a vinegarish kind of thing, and that those were the specific things that you could do. And we had the issue about the shiurim. Maybe we should... Let's go over it again, the last piece, so that everything would add up. So, Taman Tanina. So, we were talking Masechet Ukatzin. Hapagin v'habosar. So, these were these special cases of pagim. Now, that could mean pagim in general, or it could mean pagim as the technical pagim, which is dafka pagim for the te'enim. So, Rabbi Akiva Omer, mitamei tumat ochalim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Mishi Avolo Natam Asrot. So even though we've been discussing the special heter of Achila during Shemitah, there's also another thing that this would be Nogea. Are they considered to be a foodstuff, even though they're not really ready to be eaten, and this was a special heter? That's the question. So Rabbi Akiva says, they're already considered to be Metame Tumas Ochlin, even though they're not yet completely ripe. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, the shear at which you're considered to be tumas oichlin is dafka when it was nogea, the onat ha-ma'asrot. But up until then, they're not called food. Now, here, we're talking about tanikan. We're talking about what appears to be Rabbi Akiva saying that the moment that something is bosar, I mean, he said, hapagin v'habosa, that is miyad. In other words, the instant that we already see the first signs of the fruit, that's already enough. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, because that is bichlal, not roi for achila, right? So, I mean, it can't mean literally that. V'let ken miyad. So, he doesn't mean it. So, what does he mean? Ah, he means... Not, obviously, he's still arguing. He says, you don't need onat ha-ma'asrot. So he means our Mishnah. That's what he means. He's taking for granted that we understand these special dinim of Shemitah, which Alon only realizes when he's sniffing something that gets right into his brain and gives him a jolt. How about trying one of those? All right. You think it helps to have that background, huh? You think you're fooling somebody, huh? Alrighty. So therefore, it's talking specifically about our Mishnah, and it's referring to paget enim. He didn't mean any fruit that reaches pag stage. Of course not. But of course, when it would come to other pagim, bishar kol pagim, other than the special case that we had with grapes and figs, that was because of the special halacha. He would never have said such a thing. So he's talking about pagete ini. But habishar kol apagim? For sure not. Nobody would hold that they're going to be metamei tumas ochlin until achiavo lo onat hamasrot. So of course Rabbi Akiva didn't mean this as a general rule. So what's he talking about? Mishi azhiru. So our Mishnah says you're allowed to eat them out in the field when they become red. Fine. That's what he's referring to. And it's clear that figs are not like other things, because Amar Rabbi Yosi, you could see that from our Mishnah. Matnitin Amrakin. What does it say here? Hapagin mishi azrichu ochel ben pito basadeh. So it specifically says that this halacha is because the shepherds or people doing work out in the field that have some bread that they need to eat, the only thing that gives it any kind of flavor or makes it more edible for them is by using these pagim. That was a special halacha, pito basoda. Obviously, it wasn't making this a general halacha. It gave this specific usage, and that was based on the pasuk. But when it comes to anything else, the later on the Mishnah says beferish that we need to wait until achagilo natamasrot. So figs are not like fruit. They have a special din that at the point mishiyazricho, they are considered to be oichlin. Rabbi Pedas, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, said, let me make this clear. As far as the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva with the Mekabel Tumas Eichlin, Rabbi Yochanan Manuri, that they're not. So let me just point out that Hakol Modim, b'shvi'it, everybody agrees during Shemitah. They're only Nogeya, this halacha, is not during Shemitah. Well, what do you mean? Agree to what? Ma Hakol Modim, that what? That during Shvias, they are considered to be Eichlin Mekablin, the Tumas Eichlin, or maybe they're all agreed that during Shvias, they're not considered to be Eichlin. You're not being very clear. Chavraya Amri, they're all agreed, She'enan Metamin Tumas Eichlin, that the Pagim and the Bosar, even though they're Roy Lachila, but since you can't bring them into your home as Eichlin, there's no way that the Torah would consider that to be Ochlin. This is one of the Girsos. Now, the problem is that there's another Girsa in the Yerushalmi that says Shehen Ochlin, which is that they are considered to be Ochlin, which means we need to be to be able to explain the Gemara in both directions. So, in other words, what we're saying is the Machlokas is only Benogea when it's not Shvias, is what he's saying. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say that even during not Shvias, they are still considered to be a food because of the same reason that are considered to be food during Shvias. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri agrees that when it comes to Shvias, where there's very little food that's available over there, he agrees that that's considered to be Eichlin. Maybe that's the pshat. Okay, look at that. At least that's the way Rav Kanievsky understood it. There's other approaches as to why we would be murdered during Shvias with this Gersa. This is a fine Gersa. Okay, Hakor. Now let's move on. Because once we brought up the Mishnah in Uktzin, and we were talking in Uktzin about Pagin and about Bosa, which is the same things that we've been discussing over here. The next Mishnah in Uktzin discusses Kor. Now you know what Kor is. We call Kor the Korah. We refer to Korah on the outside of the branches of the palm that we use for the lulav. And the kor itself is what they call in English heart of palm. So that ends up becoming the actual structure of the branch itself over the course of the year that the branch hardens. But initially, it's edible. People put it in their salads and so on. So what's the din of kor? So the Mishnah in Uktzin says, kor has a din of wood. If it has a din of wood, it means that it is not going to be mekabel tuma. So even though now it's soft, and even though now it's edible, it's not considered to be a kli, and it's not considered to be an eichlin. So because of that, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. We're talking about raw kor. Right? I mean, obviously, it's possible to actually process it. They do process it. They do sell it as a food. So you cook it a lot, or you flavor it a lot, whatever. But we're talking about raw kor. There's only one thing that is considered to be food for. What is that? Shehu nilkach bekesev maaser, which is fascinating. In other words, we've been talking about three different stages so far about the idea of food. Food legabe shmita in the field. Food legabe shmita in terms of bringing it into your home. Food legabe tumas eichlin. And now we're introducing a new concept of food. Food legabe lekicha with maaser sheni. So over there, since it says in the Torah that the halacha is that it's, remember, we learn out that it has to be pre-mi-pri, and it has to be an eichlin, meant that you can eat it. But it doesn't say, like it does for Kabbalah's Tumah. Like Kabbalah's Tumah, it says, mikol ha-ochel asher yeachel. Well, obviously, if it's ochel, it's asher yeachel. What's the point of mentioning mikol ha-ochel asher yeachel? So we learn from there that in order to be Mekabel Tumas Eichlin, something has to be defined as a permanent food. Masha Ein Kein, Legabe Achilas Meiser Sheni, it just says, Tochlu, Vyachalta. Can you eat it? Yes. I put it in my salad, I'm eating it. Fine. So eat it. Gesunter Eid. So then there's no problem of calling it a food in terms of the heter of using money of Meiser Sheni to go and to buy it. Because it's Viachalta. Brilliant. So this gives us now a fourth level of understanding, all of which are mavusis on the psukim. So we have our mina sadeh, and we have the idea of lechav levehemtecha, and we have the idea mikol ochel asher yeachel, and we have the idea of Viachalta in Yerushalayim. Unbelievable. So we have four separate ramazim for four separate dinim of eichlin. So wonderful to see clearly. I think Mark brings all of them together so that we can have them in one place. So therefore, in this case, they would be nilkach bekesef maaser, and on the other hand, that's for kor. But when it comes to konfiyot, which are these early dates, they're considered to be an eichlin in every way except maaser, but not meiser in terms of being allowed to be eaten with kesef meiser, but in terms of the fact that they're not yet chayev to be taking meiser from it because they're not completely grown. Masha Ein Kein, they are considered to be roi to be viachalta. Great. Okay. Dorash Reb Yudah ben Pazi bebeit midrasha, ein kidushat shevi'it chala alav, that when it comes to the din of kor, there is no Kedusha Shvias, that would be Chal, because it's wood. So we said it's wood, and we said it's wood in all ways. Eitz l'chol davar, except for that one thing. Well, if that's the case, so then you can do whatever you want with it during Shemitah. Rabbi Yosa, mefakten al she'ulaya. Rabbi Yosa, when people asked him, do we need to treat Kor with Kedusha Shvias? So he said to them, excuse me, who the heck? Man lechon memarke. Who told you such a thing that you should not be? Why, you're eating it? Why in the world wouldn't have Kedusha Shvias? Where the heck did you get that? So they told him, Avin Amrin, well, Reb Yudah ben Pazi said so. He said that the kor is considered to be aged, the holdover, so we thought we're allowed to eat it without Kedusha Shvias. So Reb Yosef said, well, you know, that's very nice that, you know, it's lovely that Reb Yudah ben Pazi has got those kind of piskei halachas that go against the brisas. I mean, you know, but I can tell you one thing, the brisa argues on Reb Yudah ben Pazi and it agrees to us. So you decide what you want to do. Misaye alan, because take a look at the bright, the tani. Hapagin shel shvi'it, ein shokin otam. You're not allowed to take those pagim and cook them as a stew, because then you're basically telling me that you're wrecking it. Because the only thing that these were good for was the thing that the Mishnah was mata them for. And that is to give taste to your pita. If you want to treat them like fully mature figs, which they are not, and you're going to sit there and boil them up, basically, you're wasting them, because that's not their primary usage. Furthermore, it also says, ubemisuyafot mutar. But when you're talking about the full, the best you're going to get, meaning that these are the last figs in the year, where over there, they never fully mature, that's the normal thing to do to them. So at the end of the season, when there's some figs that are left and they're not going to mature, that's what they're used for. So obviously you can't consider that to be the la'achla of the law for anything else. I mean, this is what they are. This is the la'achla. Now, look at this. Kor b'chafniot, the din over there is that they are usher. Again, there's a question over here on the girsa, but the Gra changes it to usher. So, this is usher, and you're saying it's eights. And I'd like to see how those two things go hand in hand. You're not allowed to cook wood during Shvias? Ha ha ha. That's insane. So obviously, if it's saying that it's usher, so it's agreeing with us, because it's eights usher l'sholko, it's obviously begin to kedusha Shvias chalalav. So what is it saying here? It's saying that the kor is considered to be food, and it has kedusha Shvias. So there, that's why it's going to be usher. That's exactly what I told you. Now the Mishnah said the bosar is considered to be usable during Shemitah only in the field when there's enough liquid that it can be squeezed. So mishevi mine. Gabi bosar, mine lachoma. I mean, I'm familiar with the use of the figs out in the field when they're immature. Is that something that people do? They squeeze early grapes? I'm just not familiar with it. So what's the basis of that? Amar Bavon, yes, actually, it's quite common. Shekein derech hakehot ochlot oto. So now this is very interesting. It's a classic Yerushalmi play on words over here, so it's not really clear what's meant. Because remember, hakeyet shinav, right? From the Haggadah Shel Pesach. So it set his teeth on edge. How do you set his teeth on edge? By giving him sort of very sharp, vinegarish type of things, right? So now, hakehot ochlototo could mean literally those kind of people that go in for, you know, always getting something sharp to needing their fix for the day. They eat that kind of thing. But kehot also is a lashon of something that is weak. So if somebody's feeling very weak out in the field and he's desperate for something good to eat, so maybe it means hakehot ochlam otam. Possibly. There's a lot of different tainas. Tamir chachamim, pregnant women, because they're always in need of some kind of fix. Okay, so this psak is very unclear as to precisely what we're talking about. So we're continuing on now our discussion of what particular things is it mutter to go ahead, and like we talked about te'inim v'anovim, at what point are you allowed to eat them during Shvias, even before you're allowed to take them into your house? And we learned that out, remember, out of two separate shorashim in the Torah, one of which spoke about min ha-sadeh tochlu, and that is a special din of things that are only eaten in the sadeh. So we talked about the special squeezing of immature grapes and the special use of very sharp and unfinished immature figs, the pagim, when it came to putting it on pitot out in the field. And now we want to know, what would the equivalent din be by zeitim? So it turns out that there are not only those two of the Shiva minim that are special, that give us a din in the Sada, but zeitim as well have a shear where you're allowed to take them in ways that you wouldn't normally be allowed to take them because it would be considered to be wastage. And in this case, in the Sada, it's the derech to take them like that. So what would that be? Well, zeitim, mi sheyachnisu revi'it lisa'a. If you have zeitim that are mature enough that you would be able to get out of an entire sa'ah of zeitim. Now, a sa'ah of zeitim is a lot of zeitim, and that's about 13 liters. And out of that entire sa'ah, you would get out just one revius halug. Wow. So that sa'ah is 24 lug, and that we said over here. And now you're going to just get 1/4 of a lug of oil. You're not allowed to use the oil, mind you. That you cannot put that oil on your skin. For that, it's not roi. But what you can do is you can be potseya v'ochel basadeh. If you have, as you know, if you have olives if you don't do anything to an olive, particularly if it's not fully grown, it's completely inedible. But what you can do is you can smash it up, and you can be putzea it. And that if you have an early olive, an immature olive, and you beat it up good, you soften it, and that gives it just enough capability to be eaten along with your pita. You cannot actually use the oil that you squeeze out of it. The oil that you squeeze out of it was merely a simen of what the level of maturity was. It was not a heter to actually use. So you'd be able to be put seava ochel basadeh, and that would be because that is the minhag to eat in the sada. But you're not allowed to use it for sicha, because that would be wasting it. Now, how about they become mature enough to be machnis chatzilug? How about when they double that output? And you could even get out of one saw a chatzilug. Ah, if you can get a chatzilug, it's still not a mature olive at all, but it would allow you to be kotesh and even to use some of that oil for putting on your skin. Because, again, out in the field where you don't exactly have all your favorite Dr. Fisher toiletries, you could use your zeisim that are going to give you this little bit. Once you get to the point of shlish, now, shlish is a very confusing term, because shlish usually means one third of their mature growth, right? So, I mean, if we wouldn't have had the Yerushalmi here, that certainly we would have thought it means something like that, or maybe like some of the other Mefarshei HaMishnah learn, again, not in the context of the Yerushalmi, but it would mean once they're mature enough to get out one third of what you might be able to have gotten out of them if they were fully mature, which is different than one third of the final growth. In Lamaisa, what we're talking about according to Yerushalmi, as we're going to see, is the shlish is a reference to a lug for a very important reason that the Gemara is going to explain. And it's a very unusual use of the word shlish. So, but whatever the shlish means, it would be, according to Yerushalmi, a lower class zayat that make only three lugin for a saw, and therefore one third would be a lug. Why we would take a crazy case like that, we'll see in the Gemara. Anyway, so then you could even also be kones l'toch beito. You can not only be kotesh besada, you can even be kones l'toch beito. The minhag is to do the ketisha a little bit at the beginning. So that would be the meaning according to the Yerushalmi or according to the simple Mishnah. Here too we have that same ending, which we have different ways of understanding. Chayovim b'ma'asrot, once they get to be a shlish. And that's just these three special meaning. Olives, figs, and grapes. But sharko pirota ilan, ke'onatan l'ma'asrot, whatever the shear is in Masechet Ma'asrot, kein onatan l'shvi'it. You're not allowed to eat them during shvi'is, unless they get to the Onas HaMa'asrot, and only those three minim are special because of the minig to eat them in the Sod, and therefore the Torah was merames on them that you can eat them even before the Onas HaMa'asrot. Fine. Okay. There are mashmaut in the Rambam that v'chein shar perot, you're also allowed to eat in the Sod before the Zman of the Onat HaMa'asrot. And the Mishnah was only talking about at what point you're allowed to be Machmas L'toch HaBayit, but that's a difficult shot to understand here. Okay, says the Gemara. So you say, Zeitim Shechnisu Revi'is L'sa'a, and then you can be Patsea them, and then when it's a Chatzilug, and then you can even use the oil, and then when they, a Shlish, what the heck? We were already up to a half. How do we go down to a third? What am I missing here? Maushlish. What this? What's the third? No, a third, says our Gemara, a third means a lug. What? Yes. Because actually the Mishnah is coming to tell you a Chiddush. The Chiddush is like this. It's talking about a case of very low type. It's a low yield olive. That they only reach shloshes lugin lisa'a, which is very shvach for an olive. And therefore, if shlish would mean shlish of what it's going to ultimately yield, so then it would translate, if the ultimate yield is 3 luk per sa'ah, then the way to say 1 sa'ah would be to say shlish. And therefore, the Mishnah is putting in two different dinim together. It's telling you the shear indeed would be shlish, but it could be a shlish that is measured even on a low-yield olive, so that once you get a luk, that would be sufficient. Okay, so what have we seen so far? We've seen that there's a special din that you're not allowed to pick the pears of Shvi'is and treat them, even though you intend to eat them, or you intend to use them for putting on your skin. I mean, that's not good enough? No, it's not good enough. It has to be something that you can appreciate because of the level of the Kedusha of Shvi'is. So where do we get that idea that we have to treat the actual agricultural produce with kedusha as if they themselves need to be specified, and this is the use that is kosher for them? That's their level of kedusha. Where does that come from?
Isn't there an aspect here because you're not maximizing the use?
It doesn't matter, but that's a function of kedusha. It's a specification. I want only the maximal use. That's a tremendous specification. So where does that come from? Ktiv, ki yovel hi kodesh tihiyeh lachem. So what are we talking about over here? The yovel is kodesh, and the tihiyeh lachem, the tvuata, min atzadeh tochal tvuata, the tvuata is compared here in the pasuk to the nature of yovel. So just like yovel is called kodesh, even the tvua is called kodesh. And that's the idea which gives you the tremendous chizuk of the level of kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that even eating the peres is something that requires concentration, understanding, dedication, and a specificity of usage. And because of that, look how people responded to the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina used to sit and kiss the stones of Akko. The Amar, Ad Koi Ardi Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael got up to hear. Finally, I'm Zeche to come to Akko, he started kissing the stones. Rabbi Zera, when he would come to the Nahar Yarden, and the ferry boat wasn't in, he would keep his clothes on and go across, hold on to that, you know, the wire we talked about, and get himself soaking wet. He wasn't going to wait a second to get in there. It's all, well, I'm going to wait until the boat comes back when I see the other side. Chas v'chalila, and he jumped in with his clothes. Rabbi Chiya Barba mitagel ba'ad alisis to Tveria. Rabbi Chiya Barba was so excited when he got off in Tveria. Coming from the other side, he would start rolling around on the shore of Tveria. Rabbi Chiya Rabba, there's two gears. This is very similar to the Gemara that we have in Ksuvas, where over there, some learn that what it means is that they would fix the roads. Mitakin mitakle was Lashon over there. So the mitakin mitakle would mean that when he saw there was a mitkal, that there was a something on the road, there was a hole in the road, he would fix it himself, because he didn't want anybody to be able to say the roads in Eretz Yisrael aren't perfect, and so on. The girsa over here is matkel kipi, that he would actually weigh the stones, because since in Eretz Yisrael, the extent of existence is compressed into this tiny area, so he assumed that the mass is also compressed. So basically, Eretz Yisrael is like a neutron star. So he wanted to weigh the different things to see when they started weighing more. And then he would know when he's in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Hananya would weigh the actual dirt, Matkel Gushayu, to see if he had arrived in Eretz Yisrael. But all of this is L'kayim Mashenemar, Ki Ratzu Avadecha Et Avaneha, Vet Afara Yechoneinu. So these are all different ways of expressing this halacha of the love of Eretz Yisrael, which is expressed in the Perush Shvi'is. This gives you a little bit of the emotive context of the dinim of Shemitah that we've just been taking for granted.